It's an historic time in which we live. And then looking back to see God's hand in history, this week marks the anniversary of Richard Allen, who was a child of slaves. He grew up to found the African Methodist Episcopal Church, the AME Church.
Wow.
He was a Methodist.
Yeah.
Okay, because of the church's official opposition to slavery, he became a Methodist. But he still experienced some prejudice in that particular denomination. And so he went on to found his own denomination in 1816. And he founded it in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, City of Brotherly Love.
Wow.
Yep. He said, "I do not wish to make you angry, but excite attention to consider how hateful slavery is in the sight of that God who hath destroyed kings and princes for the oppression of the poor slaves. Pharaoh and his princes, with the posterity of King Saul, were destroyed by the protector and avenger of slaves. If you love your children, if you love your country, if you love the God of love, clear your hands from slaves. Burden not your children or your country with them." You know, that's true.
Yeah.
Because slavery is reprehensible. It is abhorrent. And because we are all created in the image of God. And that's what people like Richard Allen and William Wilberforce and other abolitionists understood. But you know what? We're facing slavery today.
Really?
Yes, we are. And it is in the form of LGBTQ.
Really?
Yes.
What? How are they?
The LGBTQ have co-opted this whole idea of racism, and they have tried to attach themselves to the civil rights movement.
Yes.
But they are really slaves to sin. LGBTQ is slavery. And Jesus came to set the captives free. In Isaiah 61:1, he quoted that in Luke. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners."
Yeah.
And we need to say that. We need to say, Jesus came to set the captives free. LGBTQ is slavery. And we do not need to allow them to co-opt the civil rights movement, which was a genuine movement. You know, the Liberty Bell is called the Liberty Bell not because it rang during independence, but it was adopted by the abolitionist movement as a symbol of liberty, because on it is Leviticus. It mm-hmm. says, "Proclaim liberty to the captives."
Yeah. And Jesus even said that if you are sinning, you are a slave to sin.
That's right.
And that he came to set them free. He came to seek and save the lost sheep and to set them free. Not to be independent. You know, really, when you look at it, we are all slaves. We're either slaves to sin
or slaves to righteousness.
Slaves to righteousness. And if we're slaves to righteousness, we're slaves to Christ. And but we are free slaves. It's as much like being, we are dead, but we're alive. We
right.
are weak, but we are strong. We're poor, but we're rich. And that's what we get through Jesus Christ. And that's what we get when we are free by him.
And we're seeing that the LGBTQ movement is now trying to enslave people. And by doing so, they are mandating, for example, here in Colorado, education of the grossest kind. It's not education, it's indoctrination into sexual practices that should be reserved for the instruction by parents, not by the state.
Right.
And we're seeing that, and we need to stand against that.
And it's even within the bill that it's prohibiting instruction from a religious or sectarian viewpoint. So this, I mean, it flies in the face of the First Amendment of not creating any laws prohibiting the practice of religion. And that's exactly what they're doing.
Hello, my friends. This is your host, Kevin Swanson, with a special message. You know, we face tremendous attacks on faith, family, and freedom in our day. This generation sits on a knife edge, and the social and economic pressures are rising exponentially. But we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And the greatest need of the day is faith, faith-filled men, godly men to be husbands, fathers, and leaders. So this year, Generations is sponsoring not one, but two men's discipleship intensives for fathers and sons, young men, and church leaders. We are planning these men discipleship intensives for Paoli, Indiana for July, and Elizabeth, Colorado for November. Join me with Scott Brown, Mark Robinette, and others in Paoli, Indiana, or Elizabeth, Colorado this year. These events are space limited, so you need to register now for it. Register at generations.org/events.
It's not education, it's indoctrination into sexual practices that should be reserved for the instruction by parents, not by the state. They are going to educate, supposedly. They're going to indoctrinate students from K through 12 in the most heinous practices. They're talking about specifics about how to have sex, homosexual sex. And parents need to respond by pulling their students out of the government schools. Do not sacrifice your children to Moloch. Moloch was a god that was worshipped by pagans, and he was an idol. They had built this idol that was hollow inside. They would put fires in his belly. He had arms outstretched, his mouth wide open, and the pagans would take and roll their living children down the arms of Moloch into the fire. They would burn them alive in the fire of Moloch, and it was a detestable practice. We would never do that, of course. No, we wouldn't do that. No, we just burn them alive in their mother's wombs by saline abortion.
Yeah.
No, we wouldn't sacrifice our children to Moloch. No, we just sear their minds to the truth of the Word of God by prohibiting any religious instruction from a Christian perspective, from a biblical perspective in the secular schools. No, we would not sacrifice our children to Moloch. No, what we do is we set them before the media who instruct them in perversions. So we have done the same thing. Now, what's interesting is when you read about the history of Moloch, it was brought back into Israel by an interesting man. The wisest man in the world built back up the altars of Chemosh and of Moloch. The wisest man, Solomon, allowed this practice back into Israel. Now, if the wisest man in history cannot avoid this pitfall, do you think we, as Christians, can avoid this pitfall as well? We have not, because we have sacrificed our children to Moloch by sending them to the secular schools. Now, this sounds harsh, and many people are going to be upset. We might get some letters on this. We might get some emails on this. But so be it. We should not sacrifice our children on the altar of secularism.
No. According to Deuteronomy and Psalms, family, the fathers specifically, that are to train their children to love God with all their heart, their soul, their mind, and their strength. Their heart, that's their life, their mind in academics. See, it's not so much academics as it is discipleship. God is the one who set math up the way it is. God is the one who is the God of history. He is the God of all sciences. Every science that is a true science can point back to God. Even political science, which is a true science, biology, chemistry, physics, all of that points to God because he's the one who set everything up. All of history belongs to God. He's the one who moves nations. He's the one who sets up kingdoms and tears them down. He's the one who puts the leaders in position and takes them down. It is all about him. And guess what? It is illegal to do that, to speak any of that in a government school.
Oh, but Steve and Bill, that we just need to be about sharing the gospel. We just need to be about evangelism, and we don't need to be involved in politics, or we don't need to be involved in the educational system. And you know what? The result is what we just talked about before the break, and that is that half of millennial Christians believe it is, quote, wrong, end quote, to evangelize. Now, why? Because they've been trained in the secular educational system that talks about multiculturalism and moral relativism.
Yeah.
Whatever you believe is okay for you, but just don't impose your values on somebody else.
Yeah,
and so half of millennial Christians believe it is wrong to evangelize.
Yeah, so save your religion for within your house or in your church, but anywhere else. I mean, your truth might not be my truth.
Yeah, you have freedom of worship, not freedom of religion.
Right.
Language is important, and we have now come to the point where we are talking about freedom of worship. Our elected officials say you have freedom of worship. Well, is this a distinction without a difference? Freedom of religion versus freedom of worship? No. Freedom of worship means you have a location. Freedom of religion means that you can bring your faith to bear in every aspect of life and culture.
Whether you want to make a cake for whoever, yeah.
Or whether you want to educate your children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord.
Yeah.
We need to be people who take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And so it is way past time that Christians exit the secular education system. We need to bring the secular education system down because it is killing kids. I was your worst enemy when I was a teacher. I was a Christian, taught youth in my church on Sunday, but I would destroy kids, not because I was a bad guy or deceptive, but because I was ignorant of my liberties. And I believe in liberty, and I believe that Christian teachers are the problem in the secular schools because we have compromised. And that sounds harsh, but I can say that because I was one of them.
Yeah, and it's about the curriculum. And so the teachers don't get to teach what they want to teach. Even if, as Christians, you can't bring that in. It's by federal mandate that you cannot bring your teaching, your religion, your Christianity into the classroom. And even in some places, they don't want you to do that outside of the classroom anymore either. They're just as much slaves to the state as LGBTQA plus and all of that. The teachers are slaves to the state.
I was a script reader for the state. Now, yeah. Not that I believed what I was teaching, but I felt compelled that I had to teach that. Now, what do you call somebody who does something just for the paycheck and doesn't really believe it?
Hypocrite?
At best, a prostitute at worst.
Yeah.
And that's what we are facing now. And so Christian teachers need to rise up. Christian parents need to rise up because children are being sacrificed to Moloch. And that is evil. What is happening, especially in Colorado, here with House Bill 1032, which is likely to become law, is as evil as abortion. In fact, it is worse because we are training students to think secularly. What you pour into a student's mind will determine what he thinks, and what he thinks will determine how he acts, regardless of his heartfelt faith. Right. We are raising schizophrenic Christians, and that is what is wrong. Not sharing your faith is wrong. What is wrong is being quiet and being silent. Fathers need to rise up. Fathers and mothers need to take responsibility for their students' education. And so I advocate that you begin to speak boldly, that you begin to act faithfully to what the Word of the Lord says, and that is that you are responsible for your students' education. You need to take responsibility and remove them from the slavery of the state.
But what about, I mean, isn't the school a minefield, isn't it a mission field?
It is, for those who are equipped. And the Christian teachers need to stand up. They're the ones who are equipped. You can't expect a third grader to be able to withstand the onslaught of secularism that is going to be brought against him when he stands up and says, I want to read from the Bible, and that's my favorite book. And when the teacher says you can't do that, when the principal says you can't do that, We need to not rely on students being the missionaries, but on adults being the missionaries. We need missionaries in that mission field.
Yeah.
It's the most foreign country that most American Christians will ever see.
Yeah, and some people will say, well, you know, Daniel and Hananiah, Azariah, Mishael went into Babylon, but they didn't go of their own accord.
And they were, what, four who survived? How many were taken captive?
Yeah.
How many did not survive that captivity? How many did not compromise? Just four.
Yeah.
Okay, everybody else bowed the knee.
Yes, they did. So and they stood up, but they were in their later teens. And see, kids who are pre 12, 13 years old, they don't have the capacity for critical thinking. They're not thinking about their thoughts. They're just absorbing.
Yep.
And the secular teachers and the secular government and education system really understands that if you can get them at 4 and 5 years old, you can indoctrinate them enough to when they get to the point where they're in the critical thinking stages, that they've already got them.
Both Hitler and the Catholic Church, and I'm not equating the two, are on record as saying, give me a child until he's 8 and I have him for life.
Yeah.
You know, and so we need to understand that the schools are not educating, they're indoctrinating students.
But I can almost hear the complaints out there now, too, but it takes a two-income family to raise your kids. And so how am I going to bring them home, you know, if I can't feed them? Isn't that, what if I lose my house? What if I lose my car? What if I can't afford to do this? And how can I do this logistically? What are the logistics of bringing my kids home and homeschooling them?
Yeah, and, you know, what do you value the most? Where are you willing to put your resources? What are you willing to invest in? And we need to invest in our children. And that's the issue. Who do you love the most? What do you love the most?
Yeah. You take a look at our grandparents. And my wife's mom was one of 5 or 6 kids that lived in a 2-bedroom house. And so some of them had a crib set up in a larger closet. That was their bedroom. And people shared bedrooms. They packed into the houses, and they survived on low single incomes. It's not the question of whether you can or can't. It's whether you will or you won't.
Yeah.
And the question comes down to is, what are you willing to sacrifice for your children? God gave you them. He made you the steward over your children. What are you willing to do with them? You will have to face God one day, and he's going to call account. What did you do with what I gave you? What did you do with these children that I gave you?
Wow. That's sobering. It's sobering. And we have sacrificed our children on the altar of convenience and affluence.
Yeah.
Because we give them to the secular state to educate. The only place I see in Scripture where the children of Israel were educated by pagans is as a result of God's judgment against the fathers.
Yeah.
Perhaps that's what we are facing here in the United States, is we are facing judgment because our children are being educated by pagans, and the secular education system has won, as evidenced by this fact that half of millennial Christians think it is wrong, morally wrong, to evangelize.
And that is just, I cannot fathom that. I mean, if this is good news, then it is news that is worth spreading. And that is what we are called to do, to start in Jerusalem and then to Samaria and to the surrounding areas and then to the ends of the earth. Jesus said, go and preach the gospel. Go and make disciples. And if you're thinking that that is wrong, then I think you need to start looking at, do you really have that faith?
Right. We need to remind ourselves that this matters.
It really does.
That the Bible is trustworthy. That Jesus does change everything. And if he doesn't, then we ought to just give it up.
Yeah.
So, encouragement to parents to take responsibility for your children. They are not the state's children. They are your children.
Yeah,
and you have responsibility.
That reminds me of, this has been a number of years ago, when the state of Colorado was wanting to widen the time that kids needed to be in school. So their compulsory attendance, they wanted to drop it from 7 to 6 and from 16 to 17 or something like that. And the homeschooler showed up and said, don't do that to us.
Right.
And there was a judge from Pueblo, I can't remember what his name was, but the first words out of his mouth were, we believe that the children of Colorado belong to us.
Yeah.
And they really do. They think that they, the children, belong to the state.
It's called in parenti locus.
Yeah.
In place of the parents. When a child walks onto the campus, he belongs to the state, not to the parents.
Yeah. What it really comes down to is, what are you willing to sacrifice for your kids? That's really the question. What are you willing to do for your kids? We are called the children of God. If you belong to God, you are His children. In fact, in Hebrews it says that, don't take the discipline of God lightly, because He calls you His children. We are His children. And my question is, what was He willing to sacrifice for His kids?
Wow.
He sacrificed His very life to save us from our sins. You can sacrifice a big house. You can sacrifice a fancy car, a boat, vacations, anything like that. The only thing that you will be able to take with you to forever is your kids.